The Lord be with you. Well, just a week ago, we saw Jesus enter into Jerusalem as the rightful king. And many were waving palm branches and praising him. We then see that throughout that week, he was then betrayed by a great friend. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was scorned. And then on Friday, he was crucified. He was murdered, though he was perfect, and then he was buried in a tomb. His disciples scattered, fearful. The enemies laughing, thinking that they have won. It would seem that all hope was lost. But that was not the end of the story. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has risen from the dead. The tomb is no longer closed. It is open and it is empty. It is the greatest day in history, and that is why we have come today to celebrate. Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago, there was a man, there was a king who rose from the dead, conquered the grave. And that is why we come today. I'm going to be reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, if you'd like to turn there with me. It's going to be chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Would you please rise as I read God's word today. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You may be seated. So in this account of Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus had been crucified on Good Friday. And now on the first day of the week, the Sunday morning after the Sabbath, some of Christ's women followers were going to the tomb to anoint his body for burial. And as they are going, there's this great, wonderful miracle that occurs. It says an angel comes down fiercely. It says his countenance is like lightning. He's covered in this white garments. He comes down. There's this great earthquake. The stone, this huge, great, massive stone covering the tomb, is moved, rolled away. The guards watching this, They start to fear. They start to panic. And then they faint and fall down like dead men. And so the women, they're coming. They're witnessing this occur. They see this open and empty tomb. And then the angel says to them, he says, "Do not be afraid. The one you seek, Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here. He is risen. Come and see where the Lord lay." So they look, they see the tomb is empty. And so then he says, "Go and tell the other disciples. Go and tell what has happened here, that Christ is risen." So they go to tell the other disciples. And on the way, Christ, the risen Christ, appears to them. And he says, "Rejoice. Rejoice. Do not be afraid. I have come. I have conquered the grave. And go and tell the others." So they go, they worship him, and they go and they tell others. When we read this account, we see something so profound and something we all need to take to heart. Just three simple words. Christ is risen. This is so important, and this is such good news, because the resurrection of Christ is the foundation of our faith. See, here's the thing. If you are a Christian and there is no resurrection, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile. It's meaningless. There's no point to follow Christ if he doesn't rise from the dead. See, if Jesus dies on this cross here, right? And he never rose on that Sunday morning. He was just a man that was hung to a cross. Nothing that he said mattered. Nothing that he said was true. But because he rose, we then have a Christian faith and a solid rock, a solid foundation to stand upon. And that is what the Apostle Paul is keying in on when he says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." What the Apostle Paul is saying here is that the resurrection is paramount. If Christ is not risen, we are still in our sins. We have no hope. We have no faith. And this preaching that I am sharing is empty. But because of the resurrection, we do have hope. We do have a faith. We do have victory. And I think that that is why we must look to the resurrection of Christ. And we must resound, we must rejoice in the fact. But are there good reasons to believe that this occurred? I think that there are. I think that there is a good case for the resurrection. And I'd like to share with you just some thoughts on why we can have confidence that Jesus is risen. First, I'd like to note that when we think about the historical records of Christ being risen, first, there is almost universal, virtually accepted evidence by the majority of New Testament and historical scholars that the tomb of Christ was found empty by some of Christ's women followers. First, it's important to note that when we look at the New Testament, some people want to say, well, I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say, right? Because that's just someone that says that Jesus rose from the dead. But if we want to be fair when we look at the records of history, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are all four separate historical documents that were being written on this account. So if we want to be fair, we must look at all of the records, all of the evidence, not just the evidence that opposes, correct? So first, we want to see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record that Christ was risen, that his tomb was empty. However, I think there's something unique that we see on how Matthew records this account. If you notice, he says someone found the tomb open and empty. And who was it? Women followers. Now, that might not sound odd to you at first in our common ear, our contemporary ear. However, at this time, the testimony of women was basically nothing. In a court of law, they would not listen to a woman's testimony, her account. It would have to be accompanied by a man giving an account. And usually with that, it would be two men that would have to give an account. So if these gospel writers were trying to come up with this really, really great story, trying to trick people, deceive them, make them believe in a false resurrection, what is the likely thing that they would probably say that we, the disciples, the men, we found the tomb open and empty, right? But that's not what happens. They say the women, they went. They found the tomb open and empty. We were afraid. We were hiding in our homes because we thought that our Lord had lost. He was killed, crucified. But the women going to prepare the body, to anoint it, found it. But that's not all. That's not the only reason that we can have confidence that the tomb was open and empty. Think about this. With these people claiming that the tomb is open and empty, what would someone who was maybe skeptical about this, what would they do? They could go to the tomb. They could literally prove it right there, right? Here is Jesus' dead body. Here's the tomb we saw him. The Romans knew where he was crucified, where he was taken. But here's the thing. There is no document, no record in history that ever denies the fact that his tomb was open. All we see is that it was open. And in fact, we see something that is known as enemy attestation. If you've ever heard of that word, what that means is when you look at the documents of history, there is actually something where enemies will try to explain something and they actually reveal a truth without realizing it. What they ended up doing is we see there are documents where there are religious leaders who start to try to explain why the tomb was open and empty. They weren't trying to say, no, it wasn't. They were trying to say, the guards must have fell asleep, and then the disciples came and took the body. Why would they try to argue, try to explain that why the tomb was open and empty if it wasn't? That's called enemy attestation. And also, I think it's funny, how would the guards know the disciples stole the body if they were asleep? You don't know much if you're asleep, do you? I know that I can be dead asleep sometimes. I don't know what's going on with Casey and the baby, right? So we need to realize that there is good reason to believe that the tomb was found empty by his women followers. But of course, that doesn't prove the resurrection, but that is something that necessitates we need to have an open and empty tomb for the resurrection to occur. But then we also see that many of Christ's followers, many started to experience numerous post-mortem appearances of Christ. The Gospels and many of the epistles, they record that there has been numerous where the 12 disciples saw Jesus risen, where the women followers saw Jesus risen, where over 500 had seen Jesus risen. And not only that, but the Apostle Paul, who was also a persecutor of the church, someone who didn't like Christ, he actually was trying to kill and imprison some of the followers of Christ. He literally came to Christ because he witnessed Christ risen. There were so many different accounts of people that were saying they saw Jesus. You would literally either have to say that they're all conspiring or they're all hallucinating. And that's pretty unlikely that they were all hallucinating, over 500 at one time, hallucinating the same event. Or that they all were just coming up with a story, that they all were lying. And here's a good reason to know that they weren't lying, that they truly believed that they saw Christ. The disciples preached the resurrection despite experiencing harsh persecution. See, these disciples, they were just proclaiming this truth and they were starting to get really like popular and getting all the money and the fame and the fortune. That's usually what you do to lie, right? You usually lie to make yourself better or to get yourself gaining something, right? Credit, money, some power, something like that. But the disciples got the exact opposite and they never recanted. They all preached Christ, Him crucified, and Him in rising from the dead. They never recanted, and many of them were imprisoned, many of them were banished from their homes, from their loved ones, and then many of them were martyred. They were killed for the faith. See, some people will die for something that is false, but I don't know anyone that would die if they knew that it was false. We have to take them at their word and truly believe that they believed that Christ was risen from the dead. And that is based off the fact that they had these post-mortem appearances of the risen Christ. And finally, the last thing I'd like to share with you that is a historical fact is this, is that the church grew exponentially after the death of Christ on the belief that He rose from the dead. You would think about this. When Jesus dies on the cross, the disciples, they're scared, they're scattered, they feel like they've lost. Why would the church grow on that? You would think that it would die with the leader, but it doesn't. In fact, in just about 300 years, it takes over the Roman Empire, and it is now the number one faith system in all of history. The Christian faith should have died with Christ on the cross. But it grew exponentially because He rose from the dead. So I think we have good reason to believe that Christ is risen. And that is such good news for us. It is a happy day for us because Jesus and His resurrection guaranteed our victory. See, when they saw Jesus on the cross, they saw Him crucified. We looked at Him and we saw a lamb that was led to the slaughter. But though He died as a sacrificial lamb, He arose as a mighty lion. See, Jesus Christ was also the Lamb of God, but He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that is who Jesus is. So when He rose from the dead, He showed that the power of Him and Christ and God made in the flesh was displayed by conquering the grave. Jesus showed that He has no rival. There is nothing that can rival the power of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that could stop Him. Think about that. Jesus was dead. But even death could not hold Him. There is no circumstance that we could possibly conceive that would dethrone our King. Jesus Christ is the King who rose from the dead, and He, by doing that, shows that He has conquered sin, He's conquered the grave, and He's conquered all the powers of darkness. That is why it is such good news for us as the believers. Think about that. Sin, the thing that we all struggle with, we all recognize we don't hit the mark. We're all imperfect people. We have thoughts. We do things that we know we shouldn't. We all are sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ, living the perfect life, fulfilling all righteousness, and going to the cross, He conquered sin. And then when He rose from the dead, He verified that fact. He guaranteed that that sin has been nailed to that cross. And then when He rose from the dead, He says, now even death cannot hold me. Death cannot hold you. Sin and death has been conquered and defeated. And likewise, I just love to think about this. The powers of darkness, the kingdom of darkness has been conquered, been defeated. When Jesus was on earth in His ministry, whenever He encountered Satan, when He encountered the legion of demons, thousands of demons, anytime He was in that area, that battle, that arena, Jesus won. Christ has never lost the battle, and He never will. And that's what He showed when He conquered the grave. See, the enemies, Satan, the devil, they all were laughing. They all thought that they had finally won. They thought that they had beat the Son of God. They put him on that cross. They saw him get sealed in that tomb. And they thought, victory. We have victory. But then that Sunday morning, when Jesus came like that mighty lion, they all shook. They all had fear. They were trembling like these Roman guards or these Jewish guards that were guarding the tomb. They fell like dead men because they were afraid of an angel. Now think how much more mighty our God is. They are just the messenger of the one who conquered the grave. And these guards feared them. Imagine what the enemies, the powers of darkness do when they think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Jesus conquered sin. He conquered the grave. He conquered all the powers of darkness. And then he has been given, he possesses all authority in the heavens and on the earth. And that is why he goes and gives them the Great Commission, because he has been given by God the Father all authority as the rightful true king. But not only that, we see that because of his resurrection, it proves that every promise that he has ever given us is faithful and true. In verse 6, whenever he says that he is not here, he is risen, it says just as he said. Whenever Jesus made a promise, a prediction, it always came true. So whenever Jesus has promised us life, when he promised us he was the resurrection in the life, when he promised us he was the way, the truth, and the life, we can believe him. Because Christ offers all of us to be partakers of his victory. Think about that. Christ was victorious over sin, the grave, the enemies of darkness, and he's saying, you can be a partaker of that. You can have that victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have the victory if you turn from your sin and you trust in Christ and his death and resurrection. See, Jesus died and rose so that you could live. He did it so you could have eternal life. But here's the thing. The choice is yours. See, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has all authority, he loves you enough to give you a choice. He will not coerce you. You must choose for yourself who you will serve, who you will worship. Is it going to be Christ, the risen one? Or is it going to be your own selfish ambition, your own desires? Is it going to be an idol, something in the world, maybe your job, maybe a relationship, maybe it's money? What are you going to worship? What are you going to bow down to? Because here's the thing, we all serve something. But for me, I would like to serve the one who promises me victory over sin and death. But the choice is yours. And I pray that if you do not know Jesus Christ, the risen lion, the victorious one, if you don't know him, turn from your sin today. Trust in him. Believe in him. Because he has conquered your sin. He has offered you life. I pray that you would do that today if you have not done it. But for those of you who have, you have victory. Victory is the life anthem of every believer. Though we might go through valleys, though there might be difficult trials in our life, we need to remember, we need to have the proper perspective that through the cross and through the grave, we have victory. Every time, no matter what you're going through, when you feel defeated, you have victory because Christ had victory. We have been spiritually resurrected by Christ. See, when Christ rose from the dead, he was saying that I have come to resurrect your spirit and your soul. And that one day in the future, at the final resurrection, when all those who have fallen asleep physically, everyone will be raised up. And those who have trusted in Christ and his victory, they will be brought into glory. They will be right with God, and they will be in paradise and glory forever. Jesus turned our graves into gardens. Ephesians 2:4-6. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ, you are no longer in that tomb. Christ came to every one of our tombs, the tomb of Lazarus. He spoke life into us, and now we are alive. We have eternal life. You don't have eternal life in the future. If you are in Christ, you have eternal life now. You are spiritually resurrected, and that means in Christ, we have a living hope. Our hope is not dead. Our hope is living. And just think about that. If you are not a Christian, if you don't have a risen Savior, where is your hope? What are you living for? What are you working for? Everything that you accomplish, everything in your bank account, when you die, it's gone. It might get trickled down to some people in your family or a friend or a loved one, sure. But in 100 years, your name, what you accomplished, is gone. You have no hope without Christ. But in Christ, you have an eternal living hope. And that is why we, in Christ, have victory. That is why we can celebrate. And that is why what we see in the text, we have nothing to fear. If you look at the text, it says it twice. Do not be afraid. I preached on that a lot this year because there's a lot of things that has caused people to be anxious, to be worried, to be nervous, to be afraid. But God, time and time again in His Word, has said, do not be afraid. There is nothing that we have to fear. Because when we remember that Christ, the risen King, has defeated every enemy that we may face, we can be confident. We can have peace. We can be emboldened by the fact that Christ won. See, the battle is over. We're just waiting for Him to return. Christ is coming back. He rose from the dead. There is no doubt about it. We just need to rejoice in the fact and pray for His King, or the King and His kingdom to come. So our spirits then, when we hear this, do not be afraid. Christ is risen. He guarantees your victory. Our spirits should be provoked to rejoice and to worship the King. And that is why Jesus, when He saw His women followers, they're still kind of processing all this. They're fearful, but they're also in wonder. They're going, and Jesus, He appears and He says the first thing, rejoice. Rejoice in the victory of Jesus Christ. And then they bowed down, they grabbed His feet in worship. That is what we should do when we think about the resurrection, when we think about Jesus and His victory. We need to rejoice, and we need to bow down at His feet, and we need to worship Him because He is so good. He loves you more than anyone, anything possible. He has an unfailing love for you, and that is why He went to the cross, and that is why He showed us His victory through the resurrection. So we should be provoked to rejoice, be provoked to worship. And then finally, as we see in verses 7 and verse 10, we have a mission. We have a job to do. Now that we have rejoiced, we are worshiping, we are called to go and tell the world. We are called to go and tell others about Christ, His death, and His resurrection. Preach the gospel to the world. Share them this faith that we have, because we want them to have the same life that we have obtained. We're not trying to push or force a religion. We're trying to save them and show them the risen Savior. So that is why we are called to go. We are called to go because we love the Lord and we know that it is the truth. And we have victory and we want the world to have victory. And that is what Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday is all about. Christ is risen. He is victorious. You can have that victory. Trust in Him. Celebrate it. And go and tell the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to come to worship the risen King. the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, conquering all enemies. That we can trust in you, turn to you, believe in you, and we can have that victory over sin and death. That we can have eternal life, a spiritual resurrection. I pray that we would all worship you, we would celebrate you, we would go out now and proclaim this truth, that Christ is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.